to this press conference, the last of press conference this afternoon. This afternoon, as you know, it's been presented in the official section of the film festival Saint Sebastian, Le Capital, the French production. And to present it, we've got the presence here at this press conference of its director, Mr. Costa Gavras, and also the actor, the protagonist, shall we say, Gad Elmaleh, the author of the novel, Stefanos Mond, and the producer of the film, Michel Ray Gavras. I see that you're very interested, and there are a lot of questions. People are putting their hands up, so let's commence. Don't worry, there's plenty of room and time for everyone. Hi, good afternoon. First of all, congratulations for the film, because it's a work of, it's a masterwork, and I respect all the other films, but it should win the Golden Shell. Could you please go further in depth as regards to the play, the game that goes on? There's a play, there's a classic confrontation between winners and losers, and it seems that the only solution is an explosion at the end. Thank you. Yes, or we could say that the winners, plus there's a lot of winners, well, the losers are much less, or that's the majority of the people, let's say, there are more losers, and that's the whole idea, the essential idea of our society, unfortunately, is that, say, the winners win and more, and the losers lose more and more as time goes away. We know this quite well, and that's happening in many countries throughout Europe. Next question, please. Hi, good afternoon. I would like to ask Mr. Costa Gavras, on the one hand, whether you've had to continue to be the great critical voice in European cinema in an issue like the economic crisis, which is international, and on the other hand, whether you are struggling in favor of optimism or you're struggling in favor of pessimism. Neither one nor the other, neither in favor of pessimism and neither in favor of cynicism. Oh, no, sorry, optimism, that was the word. Sorry, I'm optimistic as a person. I'm optimistic because I believe that the particularity of mankind is that every time there's a difficulty or a drama, we have to provide solutions in order to come out of that solution and in order to improve one's own situation or that situation. I've told this story because what interests me are stories, and I would like to say that in life I've got the good fortune of making the films that I really want to make, because thanks to my wife, who has also participated in this film, and many others as a producer, to organize our family life is something that we can organize it, and that's why I can wait for 2 or 3 years and wait to make a film, but to make the film that I really feel like making, instead of making a film just to make a living and to feed ourselves, just to make money, exactly. Next question. I'm from France, but I'm Chilean, and I would like to take this opportunity to say hello to Mr. Gavras, who's made a film which is formidable, I would say. And now I'm talking about L'état de siège, A State of Siege, which is a film that I thank him very much for. And as regards to this film, I think it refers to ethics, to talk about ethics. And as regards people that launch themselves into these turbid businesses, and why not talk, and especially in France, where we've had the case of Bernard Arnault, who has now has gone to live in expatriate and to go into Belgium in order to not pay taxes. This closely evokes an issue which is very important, not only in France and also in Spain and the rest of the world, as well as in Latin America. And Gad Elmaleh, I'm very surprised. It's good to see you again playing this role, which is very difficult. Thank you. Thank you. Was that a question for me? Did you want to address it as a question, or Microphone, please. We can't translate without the microphone. No, please ask me in French if you'd be so kind. Yes. What do I speak, in Spanish or in French? In Spanish, were you surprised, in our case, of finding you in a very difficult role, very serious, when you're very well known in France as someone who makes people laugh, and very spontaneously and excellently? We never get bored, my wife and I, when we see your show, the one-man show, okay? Thank you. Thank your wife and give her a kiss on my behalf as well. I must say, above all and before answering, I would like to say to what extent I'm glad to be here. It's the first time I've been in this, come to San Sebastian. I've been told a lot about it, and I'm glad, and I'm very proud to come with this film vis-a-vis this role. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I do a lot of comedy in many of my films, and I've done a lot of comedies in this scene, and it was a surprise when Costa Gavras asked me to play this dramatic role. The first time when we started to talk about it, I said, why me? Why did you choose me? Why did you want me to play this dramatic role? It was very interesting to construct, shall we say, this character. The Marquis Tournelle, this banker, says, it's fallen upon you. You're the one person, you're the one that's been chosen. Well, I don't know whether it was good news or not, but it was a great adventure that he proposed to me. And I recall that Costa, in a meeting one day, he said, when you don't do anything, you look very serious. I said, really? Do I look? And I looked like this, and I looked at him like this, and I said, no. I said, well, when you don't do anything, when you're not doing anything at all. So I decided to trust him, but it's easy. It's easy when somebody works with a director who's as great as he is. It wasn't any merit of mine. It was his merit completely. Thank you. I expected you to say that. Thank you. Good afternoon. Your protagonist continues to have a lot of sense of humor, and we thank him very much with the subject matter of the film. I must tell Costa Gavras, the director, thank you, and 1,000 times thank you for a film that is not only perfect, but is absolutely necessary. And I would like to ask you two things, that not only as regards the film, but as the background subject that it deals, why Mott doesn't write the book that he proposes to the protagonist, asking, and how do you think it's all going to finish? Do you think it's all going to go out the door, or what's happening? Well, it's already, everything's exploding, isn't it, here in Greece and perhaps tomorrow in France. What more do we want to happen? There are thousands of people who are living a daily drama. And the other question was, yes, why Maud doesn't write the book? Well, because Maud maybe is going to write it, but Maud was expecting, and you were able to see that Maud is someone who has a weakness, perhaps even more than just a weakness, because of that eventual change which takes place in Mark. And he continues to wait, and he's hoping that he turns into a coherent character as regards to what he was saying. She believed that he could change, but she realizes it's not this. It doesn't, but Mark prefers power and the pleasure that it means to have that power. Maud might write it, and we'd have to make a film upon Maud, because it's a character that I love very much. When I studied this, I found characters like this who were very desperate, and some of them abandoned the world of the financial world because they realize it wears you out, and it's very tiring. And Stefanik, who wrote the book, he also comes from the world of finance or the financial sphere. So therefore, many people write books, and Mott perhaps might do like Stefanik have just made, or if not, maybe they can go to jail, may end up going to jail. Yes, hi. The film is full of phrases and quotes, fantastic quotes, and I would like you to highlight. I like to highlight two. One says, the protagonist says, it was something like, I only make the rich richer and the poor poorer. I'm a normal run-of-the-mill banker. What for Costa Barbara is an abnormal banco for Mr. Costa Barbara. And then another moment was a speech at a dinner in which he says the only thing that these type of people do is to triple fuck, shall we say, normal run-of-the-mill people. This has brought about a lot of applause in the film, in the cinema theater. What do you think about these two dialogues or phrases? He's a normal banker, yes. He's a normal banker to the extent that he's a legitimate banker. That's what I mean. And that is to say, he does things that according to the law are legal. And that is to say, there's nothing that he does which is against the law. He does his job day to day in a very regular and normal manner. And that's what's serious. Why does he do his job in a normal way? Well, it's due to the fact that our government has not managed to set the rules of the game, because the banks are necessary, obviously, in society. Money is necessary as well. It's something that man has invented in order to make life easier. If we need money to buy a house, well, we go to the bank, don't we? So, but there is a kind of degeneration almost. It degenerates. Money works to produce more money, not to produce things, but to produce even more money with that money. That's not the way it should be in reality, as it should be. So therefore, they end up believing that everything is normal because there are no laws that control them. And it's true that you can't pass any laws because the bank lobbies are so powerful, those lobbies. But there's also another reason. They said that the European banks could, or at least the European banks could set forth the rules. But the American banks have no rules. And if the European banks did set up those rules, they would become weaker to a certain extent, and they would run the risk of us to be devoured by the American banks. That is to say, one day we would have to make rules for the entire world, for all of the different banks, and there we would have a certain balance, we'd achieve a certain balance. That would be good. But this is a reflection that I've made after thinking about it quite in depth. I think that the audience applauds when he explains that finally the client has been triple fucked, and that, because to a certain extent it does represent civil society. Because what do we have to do? Civil society has to mobilize itself, has to get together and do something. But until civil society doesn't come mobilize itself, it doesn't get on the move, we'll still fold our arms and wait for everything to spread. So therefore we need organizations and parties and movements so that they can get together to oblige and make the governments to force the banks to regulate the situation and set regulations for them.
Two meanings. The one, it's honor, and the other one, it's price. Do you think that your main character combines those two things? Michelle, working with Costa Gavras so many years and also being his wife, do you think that he is better as your husband or as the director that you hire?
As a confabber.
All right. And God, we know that we don't need those Robin Hoods anymore. Why they still exist? Thank you so much.
Hello. I think that unfortunately, yes, we do need them. We don't need this type of Robin Hoods. We don't need these types of the bank deviating things. But as Costa says, we continue to need banks, and we continue to need those men who run those banks and control them. Well, what interests me is to know how those men, how they can fall into a system like this, and how all the machinery starts up, which is much stronger than them. Talking to bankers, I realized that they didn't have any conscience or a notion of money. They don't like money. Money is something which is so virtual that what excites them is their position, the figures. And also, and that's why it's something which is so quick, and it goes on so quick, and everything exponential. But we continue to need banks, we need bankers as well. And I finish off by saying that I hope with this film we're going to make a lot of money at the same time. Well, first of all, we've got to recover the money that we've invested, and we put a lot of money into this film, by the way. I must say that in France, it's been very difficult to finance the film. That is to say, there's not been any French distributor who has wanted to risk investing in the film. Nobody, whereas in Spain, such has been the case. And that's true. It's true. The Spaniards have bought the film, and it's true that the film was already finished and they were able to see some images of it. But I would like to say something. And the issue of the Robin Hood, well, in our society, we've got a lot of idea. We live with Robin Hood, that is, say, the hero that gives to the poor and steals from the rich to provide and gives it to the poor. But I don't believe that's the solution. I think society has to organize itself. Let's not wait for a man to help the poor people in the world. No, not at all. I think that we have to eliminate that myth, that Robin Hood myth that exists, someone who steals from the rich to give to the poor. Yes. Over here on your right. I remember when I interviewed you one time, you were saying that you didn't like being told that you were a political director, and if you had to be defined in some genre, you said, I'm a thriller, a director of thriller films. I said, this is movies like a thriller, which is a genre that you manage, you've done from the beginning of your first film. Do you see it as such, that this film is a thriller? And also, or because of you being labeled as a thriller director or not? I would like to say, I would say it in other words. I would say that the political filmmaker that I'm labeled, I don't think it makes sense. I think all films are political in one way or in a certain way, because the content matter of the cinema film that is aimed at the audience, to thousands of people, if it has a stupid content matter, well, obviously it will make people be more imbecile or stupid. So all films are political, and mine are as well. I don't wake up in the morning and say, I want to be a political filmmaker. No. All of a sudden I got up and says, I feel like telling stories with images. And I said, I want to tell it with images that are related to our world and our society. I don't condemn films that simply want to be pure entertainment or fun. No, I don't condemn that, but that was my position. As regards the thriller, well, no, I wouldn't use the word thriller. I would use a suspense film is what I would say it is, because suspense, yes, because the film is suspended to see what happens later, but a thriller is something which is very American. No, I don't want people to shiver and shake in the film. I want to make my films in such a way that there's a certain expectation, waiting to see what's going to happen next. And this is something that I believe in, and this is something that I've learned from Greek tragedy, which started 2,500 years ago. They invented suspense, and in Greek tragedy, what's going to happen now? Iphigenia, Oedipus, for example, and so therefore, and since then we've used it constantly in all of the most important works in cinema. Well, political films, well, I come from a generation that I saw as Esther William films when I was a teenager, and I dreamt of the American way of life, the American house with the washing machine, a little garden, that type of way of life. But they weren't political films. What has brought about the American way of life has, to the houses, is non-political films. When de Gaulle, after 1946, created the National Center for Cinema in France, it was precisely to counteract that idea. And that's, we didn't talk about political cinema, but he said it was necessary to have national cinema. There's a very important Brazilian producer who says, with a beautiful expression, says, when we see each other and look at each other, look into the mirror, we've got to see ourselves. Not only do we have to go and see American films, so therefore Costa makes political films. Why? Because we classify political films as films that have a plot which talks about society, that deals, that addresses society. But practically all of the films he makes are political. All films have an ideology. The The worst policies are those that don't believe the political. The worst political ones are the ones that don't believe they're political. They're the worst. Congratulate Mr. Galbraith for this extraordinary film, and the same to the humoristic chairman of the film. But amongst the many problems problems addressed in the film, I would like to know your personal opinion. Is it compatible? Is ethics compatible with the wealth of the bankers and the banks? This is a very deep philosophical question you've asked there. Ethics. Well, what we can say, or we could say, that money, the place it holds, money has in our society, it eradicates ethics more. Everyone's got to look to oneself and after oneself in order to have more assets, and the idea is to not improve the quality of life with the others or relationships with other people. So therefore, we can be wealthy, but it depends on what is mean to be wealthy, to have billions of dollars or just to have a lot of money. So therefore, it's also true that you can be wealthy and be an ethical person at the same time. And we can use, they can use their money in a way which responds to the needs of society. That is, say, one is wealthy and we use that money only, well, you can go on a trip somewhere which is not useful for the life of anyone else. Anyone else, well, maybe that's not ethical. I can't really give you a complete answer to that. I'm very sorry. It's a philosophical question which is impossible to really answer in a few words. And in this dialogue, I would have to, you would have to ask that sort of question at university. Well, ethics, well, the banks aren't ethical. Mr. Marc Tournelle is someone who lacks ethics, and that's his profession, to lack any ethical elements. But I can, allow me to add something. It's like in politics. What ethics are we talking about? Are we talking about values and human qualities? Well, therefore, effectively, sir, this man may lack those human qualities, but ethics depends upon what we're talking about. Just like in politics, there's a scene here where my character says, tell the media to know that we're going to have an ethical vision of our profession, and that's demagogical, politically speaking. Well, in France, we're saying the media, we're going to tell the media that we're going to be modest, simple, humble, and normal. This discourse is quite similar, doesn't it ring a bell? So therefore, I think it depends upon who we're referring to. Sometimes we're going to be ethical, the more we say it, the less we are. But this person has qualities, deep qualities. Well, he would feel like throwing the ball to a Stefanep who wrote the book and who created and invented the story. And I would like to give, asking the question, I think I should have asked you before we shot the film. This man, for you, is he a man without qualities at all? Moral qualities, no. As I imagined him in the novel, no. He's a bit different in the film. But as I imagined him in the novel, no. He has in no kind of ethical qualities or moral qualities. He's a character who is totally greedy, and his only desire is to become richer or wealthier, but he constantly manufactures. He's got to satisfy the inability that he has to enjoy his fortune and his money. So permanently he's obliged to seek how to become wealthier to satisfy that need that he has, which is something which is completely vain and will never provide the satisfaction that he's seeking at a given moment. In reality, that is the case. But if they're talking about writing that book, well, what it does, that's a diabolic decision to not write the book, whether he decides or not. It talks about the typical wealthy person who owns the bank. And as your colleague mentioned, it's different. Your typical owner of the capitalist bank that's seeking money just for money for whatever reason, than the banker who works for his position and prestige. I think it's different, don't you think? Well, yes, they have interests, they receive bonuses, they are involved in how the bank operates. And as you were saying, yes, of course, the driving force is that interest of making more money. I don't think there's any difference. He's in the same system. He's at the same level. I personally believe that between a character like Dietmarx and the American and Marc Tourneil, there is an enormous difference. Both of them, none of them have ethics and they want money, but Marc Tourneil, occasionally he's got moments where he has a conscience. Of like, for example, when he talks to his mother-in-law or Mahmoud's daughter when he's contradicted and so on and so forth. And this makes him interesting. And that, and despite that conscience, he continues, despite those moments of conscience. Perhaps he's even worse. Who knows? And to me, each time I watch the film, I discover new things. One day I said, Costa, there's things I still don't understand. He said, it's quite normal that you don't understand it all. But I think it happens to all of us, the same thing. There are things that we miss completely. We don't understand it. A few days ago, I was with some friends, and I said, I wouldn't be surprised if I went to the bank and to draw out my money. I said, you've got none left. You haven't got a single euro. And they would explain with some sort of truly very rational theory and with very precise vocabulary, that's quite normal because there's been NX plus 65, 70 that was sent and they bought and they rebought and then there's nothing left in your bank account. Okay, and that's the way it is. Well, thank you very much, sir. It is possible that that could occur. Hi, good afternoon. It's a question for Mr. Costa Gavras. So I would like to know your opinion upon the role that the politicians are playing, especially in Europe, vis-a-vis the power of the financial world. Politicians throughout Europe and in all right and left-wing parties have accepted creating a Europe as if they created a supermarket, that is to say, basing themselves only on economics without thinking about politics, neither on social issues. I think we should start with the politics to create a political Europe and then go on to the economic side of things. And that is why I believe we've got what we've got at present. And quite obviously, the economy has played its role. That is to say, it has lost the plot completely, and that's why we're going through this situation in Greece, Italy, and in your country, and perhaps in France. Yesterday we announced there are 3 million unemployed in France, so therefore we have to correct this. I don't know how they're going to do this, but they have to do it, not us, because we can't. You and I, we don't have the necessary elements, and that's not our task. They now have to provide the solutions. And what's quite clear, and what is also true, is that many, many people are going to suffer, and for a long time. And they're going to have to live a life of poverty, and that is that we're in a very wealthy continent with enormous possibilities. I just simply would like to add something else. It's surprising to see how, as of 2008, when the downward turn economic crisis has started, nothing has really been done. That is to say, there are projects at a European level, but we can't do anything without the English, who don't want to continue to control the banks, and we can't do anything without the Americans. And for me, that's the great letdown. That is to say, Barack Obama, during his first mandate, has not done anything in this sense. Let's hope he wins, and he really ends up doing something in his second tenure, and so forth. The English will react, but as of 2008 in general, nothing has really happened. I have a question for Mr. Osborne, which came from the world of finance. In the film, there is a cultural conflict, so to speak. As the lady said, there's an American way of life and there's an American way of business. That is, everything confronts and collides with the French and the American culture. They collide in the world of bankings and the upper echelons of economics. Is it really like that? Or don't you believe that all of this is just an excuse? An excuse that quite often we reflect in Europe in order to say that practically there's no solution and there are no alternatives. I'm not too sure whether you understand what I want to say. what I'm saying. Well, in France, it's true that it's a bit different, and in Germany, it's also there's still a family-type capitalism or elite capitalism, which is lesser linked to speculation than in certain Anglo-Saxon worlds. But the moment when we manufacture an economic sector, whatever it is, or it may be, that has the possibility of making so much money, and it's not pejorative, in a speculation, why deprive yourselves of speculation? The French banks, like the Spanish banks and the Italian banks, who don't have that tradition, these banks in turn have installed speculation systems. I don't know how to say it any other way. That is, you can make money when the currency drops in price or it goes up, and that's quite spectacular. It's great to make money. It doesn't matter whether things go down or up in price. So the moment we create a system that in the US and especially in the UK provides work for 10% of the GDP and the working population, this is much more than in Latin countries, so therefore why not use it? And nobody has gone against that temptation, neither in France, neither in Spain, neither in Italy either. Hi, good afternoon. The question, yes, over here. For Mr. Costa Gavras, I would like to say the script this made me feel a certain sympathy for the protagonist at a given moment. How did you prepare this aspect in the script so that in certain moments the character is even kind and pleasant? And Mr. Rosmona, for example, where all majority of us are journalists, what's the role of the press and the media and everything? Because the film, we end up not looking too good as a profession as journalists. Thank you. Well, I start from the beginning, from one principle, and that's to say that these people are people who have a great culture, which is extremely intelligent, who have gone to great university schools, and they're not mafioso, they're not just simple gangsters at all. And that's where the drama lies. I have wanted to demonstrate how, as well, at given moments, the character is human and humane. And I think he's even worse, because these characters who know the situation quite well and being able to be humane when they have to make a negative decision, they don't even question it, and they do make that decision. And that's why I wanted to deal with him that way, and insisting upon his humane side of things, quote unquote, so to speak. This makes the decision, the negative decisions he makes, even more unacceptable, because if it had been a simple gangster, we would say, well, that's quite normal. A gangster is there just to react that way and to make those negative decisions. And also, I would like to add something. I want to insist and say that these are people for whom the law supports. Everything they do is legal. It's not illegal. Their actions aren't illegal. So therefore, they've got all of the excuses to do what they do, because no law prevents them to do so in society. And as regards to the role played by the media's got to talk about the movie. That's what you've got to do, and to tell the audience, okay, that we were talking about political films later, but politics is something, is a universe which is the most novelesque that exists. That is, in politics, we've got everything that integrates human drama, love, hate, power, there's sex, there's the feelings of power, all of that forms part of politics. And for me, perhaps the most beautiful political film are Les Misérables by Victor Hugo, and that's true. Christoph Stagavras, what do you think about the rescue of the governments of the banks? Is the character inspired on someone specific? As I said before, the banks are a society, they're a company within society. So let's imagine that in the future, a country without banks, where the banks went bankrupt. What a disaster. Where will we get our money or to obtain a loan to buy a house? Well, so therefore they're necessary in society. These are important instruments for society. These are instruments that have degenerated and have acquired a rhythm and a deep direction which is contrary to the initial, it's like a train all of a sudden slows down or can't hit the brakes and non-stop, and therefore it causes a lot of damage. The governments are encountering that dilemma at present, and it's precisely that there aren't any regulations, and when the banks enter into a catastrophic situation, well, they've got to help us. They've got to help them. They can't let them collapse. So they've got to help the banks with the taxes that we pay, the taxpayer, that is to say. So for it's a vicious circle, isn't it? Stefano, what do you think? In any banking activity, there's a risk. Someone loans us money and there's a risk. There's a risk that we don't return that loan. So therefore, what I think is incredible is we don't admit that the banks will have to pay or they can pay for that risk. So therefore, there are countries that are encountering difficulties, Greece, Spain, Ireland, France, and Italy also. But it seems that there's no risk for the banker. The risk of not going to recover that money, but their task would involve undergoing that risk. So therefore, the banking activity is an activity without risk. Well, for them, but I don't know, they would continue to make money. I want to give you an interesting example. A few years back, a young man who was working in a French bank that I'm not going to say, lost $5 billion. What system allows that a man can play and lose 5 billion euros, I think he's referring to. And in parallel, a few days back, the French government has increased taxes to the people who are retired. So this a young man can lose 5 billion, and we've got a government that increases tax, and it's going to make the pensioners suffer more so as he can gather more taxes. So that's the problem that the banking sector is encountering at present. I love the film, by the way. It's a question as regards the future, especially for Mr. Osman. We're talking a lot about the bankers, but we also mention the computer world. You talk about processes that are going to be very powerful, and you also talk about the fact processes are going to be much more powerful, and it says in the film that financial decisions are going to be made without the intervention of human beings. Let's say that it seems that we're going to leave human beings to one side, apart from the ones that have prepared the program that will take the position of bankers. How do you see the future along these lines and what I've just said? I don't know. Perhaps we should prohibit or ban transactions that are possible by only using computer systems when we can make an enormous amount of money playing and speculating simply for a couple of seconds with a transaction. The moment when you give the order and the moment you receive it, you can make an enormous amount of money only thanks to that mechanism and device, which is completely computerized, that it's not controlled by anyone. If we don't ban these types of transactions, well, I can't see how the system can be regulated at the end of the day. It's delirious, anything. It's so crazy, the situation that we're living in. That's the case. There are very complex algorithms that allow us to make money in a second or less than a second simply by just playing around, and that's it. So therefore, unless we regulate all of this is going to continue to happen. Unless we ban this, it's going to continue. And it is true also, and in order to complete, shall we say, the answer that he's just given to what Stefan just said, it is true that here we play with our computers to make money. We use 1,000, 5,000 euros, let's say. But with 5,000 euros, you can't make much money. The difference is going to be 0.01%. So if we only make 5 euros or whatever, whereas the banks invest 100 million. And so therefore, in a couple of seconds, they make millions, 5 million. So that's the difference, and that's what's being becoming much more and more general. What I've been told is there's 10% of the transactions that are carried out in this manner, and this can be seen in the film. In the future, this could achieve 30 or 40% of the transactions will be carried out that way. When we invented an economic sector like the banking sector that manages to make a lot of money when the prices drop or go down, it's completely absurd. But we can make a lot of money by speculating as regards to currency drops in comparison to other. When the system tries that possibility, everything turns into a situation is as crazy as this one. They said it doesn't matter whether the prices go down, there will be people who may be interested for the prices to go up, but some are interested in it dropping. But we can speculate on the upward and downward price of a currency. If you can do that, anything is possible. The question for in this film festival, there's a new comedy. This question is for Gadim Ali. What do you think about the new French comedy that so many awards and so much success is being achieved? What do you like, and what do you think it's? What's the secret behind this French comedy that's working so well nowadays? Well, Costa said something very funny, and that is that there's a secret to making a good film, but I don't know it yet, but I haven't found it out. The secret, I don't think that the secret exists. I think in French comedies, what has happened is in the latest, I'm talking about Untouchable, which has been very successful here in Spain. It's a film which addresses an issue, a very human issue, very moving and very exciting in a period of time where people need to find new things again. We have to go. I think the subject matter is quite pertinent because we describe a period in where there were under impressions that were not only in a financial crisis but a crisis of values as a whole. And as regards solidarity and fraternity values, there's a crisis in these values accompanying the financial crisis. And I believe that films that address it in a very sincere way and honest way, in the same way, and as Costa said before, if I don't wake up, I'm going to make a film, a political film, but at a given moment I want to talk about the banking system. Well, these films, I believe, do make it all the way to the audience. It really moves the audience. This can be applicable to the films I'm talking about. And the rest of the French comedy, what's the secret? Well, we've got great comedians and actors in France. Any further questions? Yes, there's something else, and that's that in France we make a lot of films, and just like for literature, we've got an extraordinary capacity for young people to make a first and second film, and that's the great richness that we have, because if we limit the amount of films that are made, we will limit also the possibility of making quality films. Because that's the way, if we make 10 films a year, well, there may be one or two good ones, but if you do 100 or 200, there will be more probabilities of being 10 or 20 or even 30 good films. But the French system is something that favors this. Any further questions?
Se escuchó mucho la palabra.
The word ethics has been mentioned a lot, but we didn't hear the word corruption. We haven't heard the word integrity. And the problem is not only a political problem, it's a bit philosophical and social, because when we're talking about virtues, we're dealing with something that has to do with human nature. And so therefore, that's where the problem lies that we're discussing in France and in other countries. And my question is for Gaston Mallet. You've made a lot of money because you work very well. I hope you may have to retire now because you've made enough money. What do you think? It's a good question, but I don't think there's any link between making money and to stop making films, because precisely in this world, making money, contrary to the bankers, has been a consequence to make money. It's never been my starting point. It has been very good luck. I've had the good luck that everything has worked very well for me. And I'm not going to start to tell you, no, I don't care about that. No, that's true. I like to say I'm not a nouveau riche. I'm a former poor person. I'm not going to retire because I've made a lot of money. No, all the contrary. I will continue to participate in France to try And as I said, to participate in solidarity in France, we participate more and more. We're going to be doing it even more and more. I have no problems with that participation. I just simply feel like the participation to be well managed and to be well done the right way. No, but I'm not going to retire, no. Oh, was that a joke? Yes, of course it was a joke. No, well, not. No, I'm very sorry. Not even as a joke. If I retired after this film, I could retire very, very calmly after having made this film, yes. Good evening and congratulations for your film. In France, cinema is in the hands of who? In the hands of the politicians, producers, actors, directors. In the hands of who is cinema? In the hands of no one? Of us? The bankers, the finances.
Enfin, après, c'est notre productrice qui va mieux bien parler que moi.
C'est quoi la question ?
Michel, alors.
Le cinéma en France.
Cinema in France. Well, I'm going to try to talk about my experience. The cinema in France, the system has developed in such a way that obviously there were big companies that finance the films, but in France it's in the hands of the filmmakers in general. And when I say filmmakers, now we're talking about producers. In a certain sense, there's a great cooperative thanks to the aid provided by the state and the different systems that have been developed for the last 50 years. So therefore, it belongs a bit to all of us, and we've got an enormous amount of freedom. It's not the state aid cost, it's the money of cinema which returns back to the cinema. It's not state money, no. There's no tax. Where we collect it from each ticket or cinema theatre ticket, or we make revenue because of the amount of tickets sold. No, in France, just like the American majors, we've got a studio channel sort of system through it, where an independent producer like me, who's very happy when we come to an agreement for producing, yes, of course, but at the end, quite often, we feel... We're talking about negative things about the film, but the good luck that I've had with this film that nobody has had is we've gotten into a big debt, but we do have, that's a positive, there are negative things in the film. If we want to do something different to comedies in France, I know it's very difficult because there's a bottleneck. That is, to achieve financing by Soficar and the TV channels, it's quite clear that they're very dynamic, but everybody wants us to make the same film for them. Further question?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.